Amen. God bless you. Guys, this morning we're going to share with you a very, very, very simple message. I'm going to talk to you about this morning about knowing your identity. And the reason for this is because I realize that most Christians don't know their identity in Christ. And I want you to take some notes because I want you to revisit these things because they are like an arsenal in your bag, which you must use in times when you are doubting, when you don't have a testimony. Then you need to know these things. And you see, for years, I've been struggling with my identity. For years, I've been, you know, I didn't grow up in such a great house. My parents divorced, and since been divorced twice. So, you know, I grew up in a very unstable environment as a kid, and I always doubted myself. I always thought, but yes, can I achieve this? Can I do that? And probably one of the biggest blows in my life was when Christian brothers and sisters came years later on and just affirmed that by putting certain labels upon me, by telling me I'm so-and-so and so-and-so and this, and I can't achieve that, and I can't be this, and I can't do that. And, you know, those labels killed me. Those labels actually destroyed my life. And the way I saw myself, and the way when I read Scripture, I said, but God, you know, is this me? And this whole cycle of doubting and not being sure just reigned for years and years and years in my life, until God, the last few years, just became to strip away these things by showing me who I am in the Word of God. And I don't know if you are aware of this, but this morning there are a spiritual battle going on over your identity as well. The enemy loves it to attack us in the area of our identity. Now, when I'm talking about identity, I'm not talking about what you are doing, because I many times stand around campfires and I ask me, so who are you? No, I'm a policeman. No, I'm a doctor. And this morning, I'm not talking about what you are doing. That's not who you are. You are what God says about you. So this morning, is the who you are is not what you do. It's who you are in the eyes of God. And Satan, first of all, isn't a creator. He cannot create anything. Amen? He can only copycat what God is doing. And Satan loves to attack us in the area of our identity. And it's an old story, comes back 6,000 years, but the first people that were attacked this area was Adam and Eve. And we all know the story in Genesis 1 to 3, where he came to them and he deceived them by making them think that they wasn't like God. Where in actual fact, God told Adam and Eve, listen, I've made you in my image. And he so convinced them, and they unfortunately allowed the voice of the enemy to get them to doubt who they really were. And the rest is history. They took the bait, and we are all, as a result of that, are struggling with our identities from that very first moment. But amazingly enough, Jesus was also attacked in his area of his identity. We all know the story in Matthew 4. You can read with me on the screen. It says, when Jesus was just starting off his ministry, it says here, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil, an old trickster. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, Satan, no, it is the Scripture says, or other says, Bible says, it is written, people shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, I thank God this morning that where the first Adam failed, the second Adam succeeded. Amen? The second Adam paid the price for us. He was victorious. Because, do you know why? Because Jesus knew who he was. Just in the chapter before Matthew 4, the Father at Jesus' baptism did what? He stick his head to the window and said, listen, that's my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus knew who he was in the eyes of his Father. And that's the reason why he could defend himself when the enemy came to attack him. He did not allow the voice of doubt to throw him by deceiving him, thinking, listening, but I'm not like God. No, you are made in the image of God. And you are a son of God. Amen? So guys, Jesus used the Word of God to respond to the devil's attacks on his identity. And in the same way this morning, we must respond to the devil's attacks by knowing and standing on the Word of God to tell Satan, Satan, it is written, back off with your lies. I'm not what you tell me about myself. I'm not that loser. I'm not that mistake. I'm not this or that. I am what God says I am. Amen? And for us this morning, and what I've learned in my struggle, for us this morning, to be able to do what Jesus has done by defending himself by the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God, church. You need to have the Word of God in your heart. And by knowing, I'm not meaning more knowledge, because knowledge puffs up and leads to pride, leads to arrogance, leads to a superiority attitude. I'm talking about revelation. I'm talking about a relational connection with God. You need to know that you're in your heart of hearts who you are as a son of God. And you need to know the Word of God. Because the reason the devil doesn't want you to know your identity is because, guys, the knowing of who you are is the very catalyst for walking in the power of God and demonstrating the power of God in the earth. That's what Matthew 4 says. That's what Jesus done. Jesus knew who he was, and therefore he could walk in the power of God. And verse 7 in this chapter says, listen, after Satan tried to put him on the pinnacle of the temple and the bread and the stones, the Bible says, and Satan left him. I tell you, when we submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know the Word of God about you. So this morning, God wants us as a church to start walking in power. He wants us to do the same great works that Jesus did. That's what John 14, 12 tells us. He tells us, listen here, if you believe in me, you will do greater works than I do. Amen? Why? Because you know who you are in Jesus, and you will defend yourself against the onslaughts of the evil one. Now, Blaise Pascal, a 17th century Christian philosopher and mathematician, many of us know him, we've all studied his maths, difficult sums, eh? Some of us got higher grade and standard grade in Pascal's theories and stuff. But him, as a philosopher, said something amazing. He said, and you can read with this, he said, not only do we know God through Jesus Christ, but we only know ourselves through Jesus Christ. We only know life and death through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, we cannot know the meaning of life, the meaning of death, the meaning of God, or the meaning of ourselves. It is only in Christ. What amazing words. It is only in Christ that you can know the real you. And this phrase, in Christ, is used about 140 times in the Bible to describe disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. Do you know the word Christian is only used twice in the whole Bible to describe Christians? Only twice? But the word in Christ, Paul and all the other writers use to describe you if you are following Jesus this morning. And 35 of those 40 times, the term in Christ is used to describe your identity in Jesus. 35 out of the 140 times. It's talking about your identity. Now this morning, obviously I don't have enough time to go through all 35, I would love to do that, but this morning I've got only time to look at, I think, the four most essential ones. And I want to bless you and show you what is the four essential things the Word of God is telling about you this morning. And I hope you embrace them and live by them. So open your Bibles with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, as Peter tells us who we are in Christ. Now in chapter 1, if you read the book, you will see that Peter tells us in chapter 1 what God has done for us. He talks about you've been born again by the mercies of God. He talks about God preserving an inheritance for us, which is undefiled, which is kept safe in heaven. He tells us you're a living stone. Come to it. He tells us Jesus is the living stone, the cornerstone. He tells us all these things, what God has done for you. But in chapter 2, he moves over and says, listen, okay, now you are strangers in this world, but now who are you on the earth? And in verse 9, read with me, it says amazing things. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a people who belong to God. You were chosen to tell about the excellent qualities of God, who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not God's people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Powerful words, eh? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's who you are this morning. So the first thing I quickly want to look at that Peter tells us who you are in Christ is that you are completely acceptable to God. Verse 9 says, you are a chosen people. You are, first of all, acceptable to God the Father in Jesus Christ. Now, guys, this is vital to know, and I've struggled with this a lot. This is vital to know because all of us have wounds and struggles in our lives. Amen? We all have stuff we battle with. None of us is perfect. And often our deepest wounds come from rejection that we have experienced from family members, from friends, from loved ones, from brothers, from sisters. And that's what happened to me. We feel rejected by people that love me. And this rejection causes deep wounds in our hearts that we try and solve by looking for acceptance in different places. Now, unfortunately, many of us try to look for acceptance in the wrong places. We look for acceptance in our parents. We look for acceptance from our friends, from our colleagues at work, or from boyfriends, or from girlfriends. We look for acceptance to be in the crowd that makes me feel happy. And I think as school children, we're exceptionally prone to this test. We want to be in the in-group because then we are accepted. And this rejection leads us to strive all our lives long looking for acceptance from this place, from that place, and we never have peace within our hearts. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? And we basically spend our entire lives trying to earn acceptance by being willing to do anything just to get accepted. Because the pain of not being chosen, the pain of not being accepted is so great. And we all have experienced that pain. That pain of not being chosen for that A team in sport. That pain of not being chosen for that matric dance as a girl. That pain we all carry in our hearts. Looking, yearning for acceptance. But the good news this morning for us as the children of God, as guys, we don't have to spend our time anymore looking for acceptance. Because God gives it to us. Amen? God accepts us this morning. 1 Peter 2:9 says, in a different place, it says, you are chosen. You've been chosen by God Himself. God accepts you. You're a chosen people. That's who you are. That is your true identity in Jesus. Amen? The fact that you are chosen and acceptable. Now, there are two things that will help you realize how deeply God has chosen and accepted you. Two things I want to give you that is keys that will help you realize, but shoo, I am accepted. The first one is in Ephesians 4, 1 verse 4. It says, now He, God, chose you in Him, Christ, before the foundations or the creation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now this, so in other words, you can know that you're accepted before God because God chose you and me before He did anything. Think of that for a moment. Before God did anything, He chose you. Before God chose to create the oceans, He did what? He chose you. Before God chose to make the planets, He chose you. Before God thought, listen, I'm going to make the sun come forth. No. He said, I love you. Before God said, listen, I'm going to create all these galaxies of stars, He said, no, I'm going to choose you. Isn't that amazing? Just think of that. Just think of God's love for us. Think of God's heart for you. You were His first thought. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. That is how deep as God accepted you and me in Christ Jesus. Can we say amen? Before He made the foundation of this world, you were His first thought. Yeah, powerful. The second thing that helps you realize how much God loves you is the fact that Jesus made you acceptable to God. Titus 3 says the following. He says, Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. Isn't that true? We deserve the worst treatment forever. We didn't deserve the mercy we got. But he treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. Amen? Now guys, listen to me. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. Religion will sell you that lie. Religion will tell you, you must do this, you must do that, you must do A and B and C, then God will approve of you. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's only by the grace of God that you're accepted in Christ Jesus. Because of His love, He has chosen you to be His child. Amen? You cannot do anything. Our acceptance is not based on performance. Our acceptance is based on the grace of God. It is a gift. It is a gift. So receive this gift this morning and realize that you are accepted and loved by Christ Jesus. That is your new identity in the Lord. You are a chosen people. Say, I am chosen by God. Amen. The second thing that Peter says about your identity is he says you are extremely valuable to God. You are extremely valuable. It says in verse 9, 1 Peter 9, you are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were not God's people, but now you are a people of God. So the second description Peter tells us of identity is that we are a holy people belonging to the Lord. Which means that you are, holy means that you are set apart and valuable. When we talk of, for instance, about the Holy Bible or the Holy Israel, what do we mean by that? We mean by that, but that is extremely valuable to us. Isn't that true? And that's what God is saying to you this morning. You are extremely valuable to Him because you are a holy nation. You are a holy person. God says in the first chapter, listen again, you be holy as I am holy. God values you. The point Peter wants to make is just that you are so valued to God that you are actually priceless. Nobody can buy you. You are so priceless, that's how much you are valuable. Now, there are two things in this life that determines value. All of the business people, they were like, ooh, what is this? You all know this, you're all doing it. The first thing that determines value in this life is who is the owner of it. Okay? For example, if I bring up here a pair of my tennis shoes, and I hold them up here, and they're for sale. But at this end, I hold up Roger Federer's tennis shoes. Who do you think shoes are more valuable? No. Guess who? Obviously not mine. Roger Federer's tennis shoes, because he is the owner of those shoes. And you see, the owner always adds value to things. The owner of things always adds value to the thing he possesses. But the real question this morning is to who do you belong to? Who is your owner? Who are you serving? And if God is your owner, you are valuable to Him. Amen? If God is your Lord, if Christ is your Savior, you are valuable to Him. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 says, you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. He chose you to be His own special possession out of all the nations of the earth. Yes, He's speaking here about Israel, but He's also speaking to us as the church today. You are a special possession to God out of all the nations of the world. So when God looks at you, God doesn't say, oh my hat, did I create that person? You must be kidding me. What was I thinking when I made him? No. When God looks at you, He sees you as His special treasure. How do we handle the treasure? With care. You know, we protect it. We love it. We carry it close to our hearts. That is what you are to God. You are His special treasure. His special possession. You are His favorite diamond in His diamond box, ladies. Men, you are His favorite sticky biltong. I don't know what you are. He enjoys you. He protects you. Piece of chocolate He keeps in the corner. I'm going to tell us this morning, guys, as the Church of Jesus Christ, nobody values you more than God because He owns you. Nobody values you more than God because He owns you. Look at what Isaiah 43 verse 4 says. It says, you are precious to me, my child. You are honored and I love you. You are precious to God. Maybe your parents has never told you this. Maybe your husband has never told you this. Son, daughter, maybe your mother or daddy never told you this, but God this morning tells you, you are precious to Him. He loves you with an everlasting love. You are precious to Him. Because you are valuable to Him. Because He is your owner. You're a people belonging to God. The second thing that determines value in this world is, what is somebody willing to pay for that item? What are you willing to pay? It's the second value. Second thing that determines value. Now, for instance, again, if I come up here and forget about yesterday's rugby, okay? We didn't play well. We will confess our sins later. For instance, I come up here and I take a 1995 Springbok rugby jersey. That's great, eh? Yoo-hoo! Better than yesterday. And I hold that up and I ask you, what do you think is this worth? Or if I take a very expensive piece of art here, I say, listen here, what do you think is this worth? The answer is that this item is worth what you are willing to pay for it. It can be anything. Isn't that true? So based on these two criteria, who's the owner and what are you willing to pay for it? I want to ask you, what do you think is your value? What are you worth in God's eyes? Because the devil will tell you a lot of different things. He sold me every lie in the book, and I actually believed him for many, many years. And I felt worse than a worm. That's why I thank God for Creation Ministries coming on Thursday to tell me I'm not a worm. My grandpa's not an ape. My father is God himself. And I'm a brother to Jesus, my Savior. Amen? And that's the same who you are. Great. What is your value? What is your value? Who owns you? And who was willing to pay for you? 1 Corinthians 7 says, you have been bought and paid for by Christ. So you belong to Him now. It's awesome. Say after me, you have been bought. I've been bought and paid for by Christ. So I belong to Him. Isn't that good news? Amen. So who owns us? Christ owns us. What was paid for us? The blood of Jesus was shed for you. That's how much value you have. Amen. That is priceless. That is awesome. You see, if you ever want to know how valuable you are, just look at the cross of Jesus, because the cross will prove to you how much value you have. That is the gospel. That's where Jesus came to show them. He'll say, Daddy, 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 I'm going to die for them. I'm not going to leave them alone because I love them too much. I value them so much. I want to give my life for them because they're precious to you, Dad. That's amazing. So don't ever, ever look to people's opinions, guys. Don't do what I've done. Don't look for acceptance and love with other people. They will tell you you are worth nothing. They will tell you you're a mistake. They will tell you you're not important. But I'm going to tell you this morning that Jesus did not die for junk. You are not a piece of junk. You are His prized possession. Amen? Say to me, I am God's prized possession. And He took care of me. And we sang that beautiful song this morning about the ransom that has been paid. You are so expensive in God's eyes that He paid the greatest ransom for your life when He sent His Son to the cross to die for you. So that you don't have to die for your own sins, but you can be set free in an instance knowing Him. Amen? That is glorious. So you're not only acceptable to God, but you're always also extremely valuable and precious to Him. You're a chosen people. You're a holy nation. Acceptable and valued to God. The third thing that Peter is saying here to us is that you are totally forgiven. It says in verse 10, it says, at one time you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received His mercy. You are now an object of God's mercy. Guys, God's mercy brought us God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Do you know that? And God's forgiveness is total and complete. Jesus does not do a half job. His forgiveness is total and complete. You see, if God had a Twitter account, okay, the old people, you know what that is? It's an app on your phone, and you talk, and you tweet things. Like Facebook, but not the same. If God had a Twitter account, he will never tweet, "Oh my head, that sin shocked me of pity." No, 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 no. He will never say that because no sin ever surprises God. God will rather tweet it. Listen here, I am God, and no sin surprised me. Throw it at me, boys. You see, the good news is that Jesus does not partially forgive your sins. He totally forgives your sins. Amen? Look at what David says in Psalm 103. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove your sin and my sin from us." God doesn't only forgive, he removes. The Old Testament was amazing. But the blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin for, say, a year till the priest comes again before God. But with Jesus, our new high priest, he did what? He removed the sin forever. And he even washed your evil conscience, says Hebrews. You can actually have remembrance of no sin. Do you know that? That's the grace of God. In other words, when God forgives, he erases and wipes out. You're not only forgiven, it's totally forgotten, as if it never happened before. But now we also know that we've got an accuser. We've got one that wants to remind us of what we've done wrong. Amen? That's his game. He's like the Argentina of yesterday. He grinds us. He steals our balls. He scrambles us into the ground. And we look like palookas. But anyway, we love them, okay? But guys, how can you truly know that you are forgiven by God? We'll give you two things. First one is in Ephesians 1:7. He says, "For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins is forgiven." How great is the grace of God? For by the blood of Jesus we are set free. In other words, church, you can know that you're totally forgiven because Jesus paid for your sins. That is an historical fact. He came to earth to die for your sins. What does that mean? That means that the blood of Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God. God is not angry at you anymore. Do you know that? God doesn't want to punish you anymore. Do you know that? God accepts you in Jesus Christ. God has totally forgiven you in Jesus Christ because of the blood of Christ that was shed. And therefore, Paul could say, that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is your identity. There's no more condemnation. You can be set free. You can live a life of freedom. Amen? You see, once again, our forgiveness is not based on our performance or anything that we can do for God. Instead, it's based on the grace of God alone. It is God's mercy that has given us God's forgiveness. And church, if you can grasp this, if you can understand this morning, then you will be truly set free to start walking in your true identity as a son and daughter of God. Amen? You are forgiven. In Christ, you are forgiven. Now, I'm not saying that we must not confess our sins anymore. You must still work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You must still, if God shows you, must still say, "God, this sin, if it comes up in your heart." You must still walk with reverence before the Lord, amen? But you are totally forgiven in Christ. Then the last thing Peter tells us about identity, he says, you are extremely significant to God. Verse 9, it says, you are a royal priesthood, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are a royal priesthood. Peter is saying two things here I want to just underline. The first thing he says, listen here, if you are a child of God, if you are born again of the Spirit, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a priest. Did you know that? Who's a Christian in this place, a follower of Jesus? Okay, we can have a big altar call. No, I'm joking. But if you are that, then you are a priest. You are a priest. That's your identity. You are a priest, Peter says. And now a priest in the Bible had two functions. Write this down. It's quite interesting. First of all, a priest had to represent man to God. Old Testament, we know that the high priest took blood for himself and for the sins of the nation, and he came into the temple to present man to God, to ask God for forgiveness. Man, a priest needs to represent man to God. Now that means, guys, that me and you in the New Testament have direct access to God because the veil has been torn. Jesus has died for our sins. You can come to God directly 24/7 hours. We don't have to go to a priest anymore to confess our sins. We don't have to go to anybody. We don't have to work through any person to get to God. You can go directly to God himself because you are a priest and Jesus is your high priest. Amen? That is extremely good news. You can actually counsel yourself. Do you know that? You must talk to yourself. It's very good. The Bible says this, Jakob, so I said this to myself. Okay? The second thing a priest does, a priest represents God to man. So first of all, a priest represents man to God, and secondly, he represents God to man. And that means that every Christian here, and all of you raise your hands, every one of you is a minister. That means every Christian is a servant of the purposes of God. And that means every one of you are called by God to proclaim the marvelous acts of God, to bring people out of darkness and into light, to proclaim God's wonderful acts. You are a priest to minister, to proclaim, and to serve. Amen. In our church, we call it, we love everyone to get involved. When we talk about connect, because you're a priest. We know this revelation. We want everybody to be part of us, to be involved with us, to serve, and because we're a body, we need each other. So get involved. Look at Acts 26, what God said to Paul on his way to Rome. It says in verse 18, he says, Paul, you are to open people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place amongst God's chosen people. Do you know what? This is your new job description. The ministry to go and open people's eyes to tell them how much God loves them and what Jesus has done for them. This is your new identity. You're a priest of God. Amen? Guys, this is not anymore the job of the pastors only. It's not only my job. It's not our job. We are all responsible for this. We are all been given this mission of God to go and open people's eyes and to tell them how much Jesus loves them. I so love this morning Naomi's offering. It's just a heart of worship. That's what it is. Just proclaiming that God is good. It's not a striving. It's just, it flows out of you. And people will be drawn to you because you are so full of Jesus. Amen? So, you are a priest wherever you are. You are a priest at work. I look at the headmasters here, the school teachers. You are a priest. Look at Ronnie, the state agents. Ronnie, you are a priest wherever you are, Ronnie. You are a priest, Christopher, in Capitec Bank. You are the local priest there. Sounds funny, eh? But you are that in God's eyes. You're a priest in the restaurant if you're a waiter. You are that priest. You're the priest if you're a school teacher. You are the school's priest. Amen? That is who we are. If we ask ourselves, listen here, if anybody asks you from now on, how many priests are there in Shofar Manas, you say about 400. It will rock the world. Amen? Because every member is a minister. Amen? Glory to God. That's who we are. That is who you are. A priest to represent God to man to proclaim the glorious acts of Jesus. Amen? And the second thing Peter says, and I want to conclude with this, he says, you are not only ordinary priests, but you are also a royal people of God. You are a royal people of God. Guys, I've come to understand, it's not what I think about myself, it's what God thinks about me. And God, I want to tell you this morning, has got a very high regard for you. Because his son's blood is over your life. He's got a very, very high regard for you. And because he's got a very article, it's because we are his children. Because we are his children, our new identity is royalty. Because the royal King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has shed his royal blood for you to make you a royal priesthood. You are royalty in God's eyes. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, if anyone comes to Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, look, all things have become new. In our eyes, many times we think, no, God, but this and this, that. God says, no, no, no. Look from where I see. You are seated with me in heavenly places. Look from where you're seating. All things have become new. You are a new creation. Walk in that grace. You are royalty to me because my son's royal blood has been shed for you. Amen? So when God looks at you and me in Christ, he sees royalty, and therefore you are significant to him. I love it when the Holy Spirit is preaching my message, because this morning Patrick read my scripture. Revelations 1:5, God confirms, he says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to our God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John is saying three very important things here. And we've touched on this all about who you are. He says, first of all, you are loved. You are accepted in Christ. You are valued in him. Amen? Secondly, he says you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But what does he say in the third place? We are, he made us kings and priests. Oh my hat. He made us kings and priests unto our God. Did you get that? You are royalty. You are a king. You are a priest in God's eyes. Do you know something? Do you know why Jesus is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you know why he's given that awesome, awesome title? It's because of you. You are a king, but he is the king of all kings. Who is the kings? You are a king in God's eyes. He is the King of Kings. He reigns over you, and you reign with him in Christ to conquer this world for his kingdom. Amen? He's your king. That's why he's the king of all kings. Let's renew our minds about who we are. You're a king and priest of God. That's awesome. I'm royalty. Amen, man. And lastly, I'm going to just throw this scripture at you just to show you what God thinks of you. Romans 8, Paul is just using the same language, but different than Peter's saying. He says here in verse 18, listen to who you are in Jesus. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears a witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. Then skip to verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Just think about this scripture, guys. He's talking about you. This is mind-blowing. This is so wonderful. First of all, he says you are adopted. That's the same language as Peter says. You are chosen. You are accepted in Christ. You were once an orphan, but now Christ died, so you can be adopted as a son into his family. Amen? Sonship is your inheritance. Secondly, he says you are no longer fatherless. I grew up fatherless. I am no longer fatherless. Amen? God has become my father. God is your father. He's the perfect father. He knows whatever you need and desire. We can trust him, as my brother said. The third thing he says, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs. Erfgename van Christus. Van God. Guys, this is just, I can't explain this. It is just so big. You're an heir of God. Everything he owns is mine, is yours. How big is that? How huge is that? That is awesome. I'm a joint heir. It's amazing. And then I'm going to end with this. It says there in verse 19, creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for you to start walking in your identity like Jesus walked in his in the gospel. That's why we have four gospels, to tell us four times how Jesus walked as the Son of God upon the earth. Because he showed us what is possible if we follow him. Jesus is not the exception. Jesus is the model for us to live by. He is our elder brother, showing us the example and say, y'all can just follow me. You can do it. Go on. The Bible says we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. They are cheering us along as we're coming into the final stretch and say, you can go, 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 go. You are royalty. You're accepted. You love. You're forgiven. You're the Son of God. You're the righteous of God in Christ. You're the new creation. That's who you are. Amen? So guys, the world, Hermanus, South Africa is waiting for you to start walking in your identity. Let's not allow enemy to deceive us anymore by doubting who we are in Christ. I'm finished with that game. Amen? You are significant to God because you are God's plan for the earth. We are called to reign and to rule with Jesus. We are seated already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you are no longer a loser. You are no longer a slave to fear. You don't have to fear. That's not your inheritance. That's a lie. You are not what your parents told you are. You are not what your friends told you are. You are not what the media and the culture tells about you. You don't have to fit in because you are in Christ. You're already fitting in for all eternity. We don't have to believe what the devil tells us anymore because God now is your Father. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we are called to live out of the palace with God. We are royalty. I've never seen a king that's got a self-worth image. No. The best image we've got of a king is the king in England, the queen. Is she poor? Does she hide herself around and it's a shame? No. She walks around with authority. She displays her splendor to the world. When she speaks, it's with majesty. And people listen to her. Amen? That's who you are in the Spirit. That's who God says you are. This is your true identity, church. Say after me, I am acceptable. I am loved. I am valued. I am forgiven. And I'm significant to my dad. Amen? That is who we are. Let's pray. Awesome stuff. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your glory, God. Thank you for your wonderful plans for us, God. Lord, our minds cannot fathom how much you love us. When I say these words, God, I cannot actually believe them myself because it's so wonderful good news. Lord, it's you shed your blood to set us free, God. You say we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. God, I release freedom over your people. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from doubt. Freedom from the lies of the enemy, God. They will no longer rob your people of their inheritance and identity in you, God. I say to Satan, you will back off in the name of Jesus. This is the treasured possessions of the Lord God Almighty. God, I pray for a grace to come upon your people, God, like wind. God, I ask for the mighty rushing wind to come in now to touch every person here, God. Refresh us, God. Father, we jump into your river of life. God, you said this morning, it is here. It is here, God. We're no longer going to just stand and look. We are going to jump in and become wet, God. We want to drown. We want to go under, God. We want to just fill our lungs with more of you, God. So, Father, this morning, I thank you for your affirmation. God, I pray that you will stick your head to the clouds this morning and you will speak to people how much you love them. That they are your beloved son and daughter, God. That you are well pleased in your Father's eyes. You are well pleased. You are well pleased because you are in Jesus. He loves you. He chose you before the foundation of this world. Just receive that this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come now and just touch hearts. You come and just minister to our deepest needs, God. In Jesus' name. God, I pray, God, I take off every label of people's lives. God, labels of the enemies, labels of brothers and sisters. God, I pray for the grace for people here to be able to forgive a Christian brother that has labeled them with something of the enemy, God. Father, I ask that you will press the release button on our lives to set us free, strip every label of condemnation and of a failure and a mistake over our lives, God. Labels of that you are not a good mother, labels that you're not a good father, labels that you're not a good businessman or a great teacher. I strip that off in Jesus' name. You are successful. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. God is well pleased with you. And Father, I pray that you will help people to break free from the spirit of rejection, God. And God, I speak a spirit of adoption over your people, God. That they will know that they're adopted into your family, God. I pray, God, that people will no longer look in different places for acceptance, Father God. Lord, I call out those backsliders out of pubs. I call out those backsliders out of drug infested homes, God. I say you will come back in Jesus' name and receive your sonship in Christ. Father, we thank you for sons that will cry out, Abba, 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 Daddy, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a coming back of prodigal sons, God. I call that forth in Jesus' name. God, I see my spirit, God, you're coming and you're putting new robes of identity upon prodigal sons. I tell you, son and daughter, you're welcome back in the house of God. He's waiting to put a robe on you, a ring on you, and shoes on you of identity and authority and sonship. Come home. Come home. Come home. In Jesus' name. God, I also silence the voice of the accuser that throws doubt at us, God. We can never break free of cycles of sin. Father, I break the cycle of addiction over your people in Jesus' name. People struggle with alcoholism. People struggle with cigarette smoking and swearing. I break that in Jesus' name. And I ask for your spirit of liberty and freedom to come upon your people, God. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. We shall know the truth and it will make us free. God, I pray for revelation to infest this church, God. Revelation of your word. Revelation of your heart for us in the name of Jesus, God. I speak hope into your people, God. Hope, God, to see that business deal closed. Hope, God, to see the child of them discipled and loved by God. Hope for a husband to return. Hope for a mother to come back to her senses, God. Hope, 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 God, in Jesus. We honor you. We honor you, God. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus, I want to ask you to respond to the call of God. I see there are so many backsliders here this morning that has lost your love for Jesus, that has lost that place of intimacy with God. God is asking you to come back to Him. He loves you so much. He wants to just throw Himself upon you and just love on you this morning. Are there any people like that this morning that is unsaved, that don't know Jesus, and that is backslidden? Please raise your hand up. We want to pray for you. God is calling you right now. Anybody that feels far away from God, anybody that hasn't been touched by God in the last week, last year, last whenever, God wants to meet with us.
Amen. We're going to close the service. If you have got any of those prayer needs, God is not playing games with us. He's telling these things because you are there. Just take the boldness. We're going to dismiss the service. They have some wonderful coffee and tea at the back, but we want to pray with you. And we could ask all the leaders are going to pray with us as well. But are there some more words?
I just want to say that what Jaco preached on this morning is so very, very true. So often we feel rejected and criticized by our friends. I think of children and even adults who want to live and want to please their peers. They want to do things to be accepted by their friends and that type of thing. My daughter passed away 4 weeks ago. Her whole life, she tried to please other people. And don't be like that. You're a king or a queen or a princess, a royal priesthood. And accept that and believe that. So any children, anybody living here or being seeing here today, believe and trust what Jaco preached this morning. It is true. And if you don't do that, you are doing yourself in. You're doing yourself and your whole family a big disfavor.
Amen. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you. Remember, you are royalty and you are son and daughter of the Most High God. Have a blessed day and have some coffee. We're going to pray for you. The service is dismissed. Thank you, everybody.